In today's world, a silent epidemic is reshaping childhood development. Children increasingly look to peers rather than parents for guidance, acceptance, and values. What if your child's difficult behavior isn't a discipline problem, but a relationship problem? This revolutionary insight forms the foundation of Hold On to Your Kids. For the first time in history, children are orbiting around their friends rather than their families, creating what psychologists call peer orientation. This isn't just teenage rebellion. It's a fundamental shift in human development that began after World War II and has accelerated dramatically in our digital age. When 12-year-old Jeremy snaps at his father's homework reminder with, "Stop bugging me," before slamming his door, what's really happening is an attachment crisis that leaves parents feeling helpless despite loving their children as much as ever. For parenting to work, children must be actively attaching to adults, wanting contact and closeness. This psychological umbilical cord allows parental guidance and love to get through. Without it, even the most skillful parenting techniques fall flat. The secret lies not in what parents do, but in who they are to their children. Attachment creates a compass point in the person a child is connected to, preventing them from feeling lost. Children fear nothing more than losing contact with this orienting force. This attachment shift stems from a broader cultural breakdown, not individual parental failure. Our society has created attachment voids, situations without consistent connections to nurturing adults. Economic pressures force dual-income households with minimal provisions for children's emotional needs. Schools unintentionally promote peer orientation through large classes, limited teacher engagement, and policies grouping children without adult supervision. Even intact families struggle with attachment. When parents separate, children can't maintain simultaneous closeness with both, especially amid loyalty conflicts. Our rapidly changing society has outpaced cultural evolution. Electronic transmission has replaced intergenerational sharing of customs, while communication technology now primarily links children with peers instead of adults. Healthy attachment develops through 6 deepening levels: physical proximity, sameness and imitation, belonging and loyalty, significance, emotional intimacy, and being known. Peer-oriented children typically remain limited to superficial modes, especially sameness, making their attachments desperate. Like a compass confused by 2 north poles, children cannot simultaneously orient by peer and parent values. When 7-year-old Kirsten became resistant after entering second grade, her loving relationship with her parents deteriorated into battles and withdrawal. This illustrates how parenting, designed to be power-assisted, becomes nearly impossible when that power fails. Parental power isn't about control, it's the natural authority flowing from a properly aligned relationship. The true source of parental power lies in the child's dependence on parents rather than others. Parents cannot effectively guide children who aren't emotionally connected to them. When children become peer-oriented, attachment dynamics that should support parenting instead undermine it. Attention naturally follows attachment. The stronger the bond, the easier it is to secure a child's attention. For peer-oriented children, adult communication often registers as mere noise. Children only emulate those to whom they're strongly attached. This modeling happens naturally, providing power-assisted learning without conscious teaching. When peers replace parents as attachment figures, they become the models instead, recalibrating the child's attachment conscience to serve peer relationships rather than family values. High school hallways showcase teenagers displaying an eerie invulnerability, posturing with shallow confidence. The ultimate peer ethic is cool, complete absence of emotional openness. Yet humans are inherently vulnerable creatures. This emotional hardening occurs because peer-oriented children lose their natural protection against emotional wounds. Normally, attachment to parents shields against exclusion, disapproval, and ridicule. Peer-oriented children's vulnerability stems from the insecure nature of these relationships. Unlike parent-child bonds, peer attachments lack unconditional acceptance, mature guidance, and dependable commitment. Children live with constant anxiety about social standing. When peer-oriented, any vulnerability attracts attack from those already emotionally shut down. Children learn to hide weakness, sensitivity, fear, eagerness, and curiosity. This unbearable vulnerability explains their attraction to drugs that function as emotional painkillers, helping them escape both painful feelings and the numbness of defensive detachment. What appears as teenage rebellion often masks a desperate attempt to manage overwhelming emotional vulnerability. When children fail to mature psychologically despite physical growth, they exhibit the preschooler syndrome, behaviors appropriate only for very young children. Peer orientation creates a society of half-adults who never truly grow up. Maturity involves the brain integrating different perceptions, thoughts, feelings, and impulses simultaneously, what Romans called temper. Immature individuals cannot tolerate mixed feelings, becoming impulsive and reactive. Paradoxically, dependence fosters independence. Attachment nurtures separation. Like plants needing roots before bearing fruit, children need secure attachment before becoming independent. Peer orientation impedes maturation by blocking parental nurturance, maintaining insecurity, and crushing emerging individuality. Unlike individualism, putting personal rights above community, true individuality forms the foundation of authentic community. Emerging individuality requires protection, as it's tentative and vulnerable. Peer-oriented children cannot provide this. Instead, they enforce sameness and conformity rather than supporting genuine growth. Parents and teachers must reassume their mentorship roles by deliberately collecting children, drawing them under our wing, and making them want to belong with us. This begins with positive attention through eye contact, smiles, and nods. To engage attachment instincts, we must offer emotional connection through our attention, interest, and delight. We must invite dependence by showing children they can trust and count on us. Our cultural obsession with independence undermines this essential process. We must also orient the child, serving as their compass and guide. When children are deeply peer-oriented, reclaiming them requires understanding that peer orientation functions like a cult. The key strategy involves creating an attachment void by separating the child from peers, then positioning ourselves in that void. In our digital age, technology has transformed children's social landscape. Digital connections crowd out healthy attachments and create insatiable hunger rather than satisfaction. Parents must establish digital-free zones to nurture real connection, addressing the root problem by fulfilling children's attachment needs so digital cravings naturally diminish. Many adults recall childhoods with attachment villages, neighborhoods where people knew each other and extended family provided support. This invisible matrix created rootedness, where culture passed vertically across generations. Today, these villages have largely disappeared. We need to cultivate relationships between our children and interested adults, establishing customs that connect them to extended family. Our socializing should shift from peer-oriented to hierarchical connections spanning generations. In traditional villages, children formed attachments through their parents' connections. Now, we must become matchmakers, priming our children to connect with caring adults by giving our attachment blessing through friendly interactions. Despite forces driving peer orientation, parents can prevent being prematurely replaced by restoring the natural parent-child relationship. Nature is on our side. Children inherently want to belong to their parents. By strengthening these vital bonds, we can raise children who remain connected to us and develop genuine maturity. In a world pulling families apart, our most revolutionary act may be simply holding on to our kids.